You're tuned to the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Jeff Boschert. The technical director for the program is Henry Frain. Our producer is Harriet Williamson. Today's guest is Craig Brewer. He's the writer-director of the film Hustle and Flow, now playing in theaters. Craig is one in a large group of independent filmmakers in Memphis whose first independent work, a digital feature called The Poor and Hungry, got him some notoriety at festivals. He pitched his next script, Hustle and Flow, for years to several studios before John Singleton decided to finance it himself. After a number of studios passed on the movie, it was one of the most acclaimed films at the Sundance Film Festival this year, and Paramount Pictures bought it for a festival record, $9 million. The success of the movie has already earned him another directorial job, a film called Black Snake Moan, starring Samuel L. Jackson, also to be shot in Memphis. Hello, Craig.
Hey, how's it going, Jeff?
Pretty good. How are you?
Oh, good. I'm scouting out some locations right now for my next movie.
Yeah, was this the Black Snake Moan?
Black Snake Moan, yes.
Yeah, well, let's talk a few minutes about Hustle and Flow. I've been listening to a lot of interviews, and I'm sure things are just crazy ever since Sundance.
Oh, yes.
Let's talk a little bit about how you are determined to make films in the gritty back streets of Memphis. I mean, I've had the privilege of knowing you for a while, and from having worked in Memphis, and saw your previous film, The Poor and Hungry, and what drives you to want to make films that do not have a ritzy sort of plush appearance?
Well, I mean, I think that the Grisham thing's already been done. You know, and that's kind of what a lot of the films that were shot in Memphis always had a lot of wealth around it, and the stories that I've always been attracted to, and the stories that I felt that I most identified with, are people who have nothing. You know, even down to the classic movies such as Saturday Night Fever and Rocky and Footloose. You know, there wasn't much opulence, there wasn't much wealth around, and yet there was a tremendous amount of heart and a tremendous amount of dignity in these characters, and that's something that I've always gravitated to, even down to the visual aesthetic. I will look at a banged-up, hoopty Chevy Caprice, rolling down 3rd Avenue in Memphis, but it's on chrome wheels, and I think it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. It may just be my eye. It may just be my taste, but I've always been attracted to not only the characters and their struggles, but also just the visual aesthetic that brings about, the locations and the culture and the methodology of their lives. It's something that's always fascinated me, and I just decided that I would place a lot of my stories in that context.
Tell me about. Let's back up a little bit and talk about how kind of personal stories led to your smaller film, The Poor and Hungry, and Hustle and Flow, and things that happened to you leading to the scripts you wrote.
Sure. Well, I mean, the thing that you need to remember is that, you know, the first movie that I made was shot on digital video with a crew of two. And I was holding the video camera, and my brother-in-law held the boom pole, and we were pretty much making a movie, me and my family, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, and my wife. We were making a movie out of our little shotgun house on Vinton Avenue in Memphis, and we didn't have much money. My father died at a very early age, at the age of 49, of a heart attack, and I got about 20 grand of inheritance, and my mother recommended that I make a movie that my father had read called The Poor and Hungry, and so a lot of those themes of feeling that, you know, that I've only got one shot, I've only got one chance, you know, that was a big theme in Hustle and Flow. And also the idea of not apologizing for not having any money or big equipment. Whatever you have, you should use it. And that was a theme that I felt was very important in Hustle and Flow for the lead who is a pimp in the movie, a hustler, trying to make rap music. And, you know, he's even recording on audio cassette tape, you know, which just is kind of unheard of today. But there's something noble about his efforts in trying with what he has to do something. I think that that's why so many audiences are finding themselves conflicted in the fact that they relate so much to the street hustling pimp who wants to do rap. People who aren't street hustlers, who hate rap, come out of the movie and say, wow, I really identified with that character.
Well, and tell me about the efforts to pitch this script and how John Singleton has really jump-started your career.
Sure. Well, you know, the issue was never, is it a good script? Everybody always loved the script. The issue was, should we make the script anyway? You know, it was always, should we make it with this guy who's never made a studio feature before? Should we make it with a white Southerner who's essentially going to be doing a movie with a predominantly black cast? Should we do this movie with this unknown actor that the director is insisting upon named Terrence Howard? You know, there were all these issues that were coming up that basically never, you know, they never said no, they just would refuse to say yes. See, Hollywood is exists off the art of the hypothetical. This project would probably work if you could get Brad Pitt. You know, this project may get greenlit if you get this actress. And so there's all these kind of caveats to getting a green light. And so when Stephanie Elaine, who is my producer, she went around town and tried to get the movie going, and then she decided to sell her house. And she was going to try to finance the movie for about $500,000, and we would shoot it on digital video like I had made my first movie. And that's when she decided that she would cash in on a favor, and she would give John Singleton a call. She gave John his start in Boys in the Hood when she worked at Columbia, and she was hoping that John would maybe put in, like, you know, a couple of $100,000 into this budget. And that's when Singleton read it, and he said, no, we need, like, $10 million. You know, let's do this right. It's a good script. It's a good filmmaker. It's the right cast. Let's go out and do this right. And so every studio slammed the door in Singleton's face, too. And that's when I think he got mad and decided he would finance the movie out of his own pocket.
With the start of your career, you did a movie called The Poor and Hungry, and a lot of people haven't had a chance to see it unless they've seen it on Independent Film Channel. Is that still on there, or might we see a DVD release of it sometime?
Paramount has expressed interest in putting it out on DVD next year at around the time when my next movie, Black Snake Moan, is to be released. And since a lot of the characters that are in Hustle and Flow they're in Poor and Hungry, it's the same world. It's very important for Paramount to have that in their library, because Poor and Hungry is almost kind of a prequel to Hustle and Flow, and Hustle and Flow has kind of a journey unto itself that hasn't really stopped yet. You know, there's going to be, you know, I won't speculate on how many stories, but, you know, the character of DJ is not done.
Well, let's talk about that character real briefly. I mean, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the performance of Terrence Howard that is generating a lot of the buzz.
Right.
And certainly I would think an Independent Spirit nomination and might be in store for him.
I would say that an Oscar should be in store for him. The thing that I think that actors and actresses need to remember when they vote, Academy members, is that we need to believe in Terrence Howard's. We need to believe that a person can be a supporting character or a cameo or a bright spot character for more than 30 films over, you know, 10 years, and can one day ascend with an amazing breakout role and be rewarded. More people need to believe and use Terrence as inspiration, because it's really hard out there to be an actor and an actress when tastes change and people who have power could look at somebody right in the eye and say, you know what, you would be best at this. You would be the best person for this role, but we cannot use you because you're not Will Smith. You know, we need to have more situations like Terrence Howard. So I think that, we're going to do a campaign to get him the award that he deserves, you know.
And let's talk about your next movie. I understand with Black Snake Moan you've been able to secure the Pyramid Arena.
Right.
And do it entirely in Memphis like your other movies.
I know. Well, it was a fight to keep it here, because the two states that were kind of vying for were Louisiana and Georgia, which would have provided close to $1 million in tax incentives. But the thing that I kept on trying to tell the studio people is that, you know, there's one big incentive in making the movie here in the South and in Memphis and in Tennessee and Mississippi and Arkansas is, there's a certain vibe here. There's a certain groove here that contributed to my, $3 million movie. that they all bought for $9 at Sundance. And I was just trying to tell them, it's like, listen, this is my home. I know where I'm going to go make this movie. I know how to make this movie. The one thing that we needed was a big facility to build some of our interiors in. And that's when the city stepped up and said, we'll give you the pyramid for 2 months for free. But you know, we're going to be dropping close to $4.1 million into the Memphis economy, and so they were pretty happy to have a Black Snake Moan film here.
And a pretty quick synopsis of that film. I know you got Samuel L. Jackson. Tell me about the cast and
yeah, it's about this white, you know, kind of young redneck girl who kind of suffers from these anxiety attacks. And it triggers kind of this odd compulsive sexual addiction. And so she gets beat up at this kegger and left on the side of the road for dead, and it's about this old black bluesman who kind of, you know, finds her on the road and nurses her back to health, and it's about their relationship and being haunted, and what we did for rap with Hustle and Flow, we're doing with blues in this movie. You know, this is going to be a blues movie. It's not going to be like a, you know, blue-haired ladies dancing on a cruise ship to Mustang Sally blues. This is going to be North Mississippi blues. It's the precursor to rap. I mean, a lot of the blues is very electric. It's very raw. It's very sexual. It's very violent. You know, Mississippi Fred McDowell, R.L. Burnside, T-Model Ford, Robert Belford, these are all old bluesmen, and their music is going to be the inspiration and the soundtrack of this movie.
Well, Craig, I'm really glad we got a chance to talk, and I hope we get to do this again sometime, and I can track your career, and best of continued luck with Hustle and Flow.
Thank you so much.
Craig Brewer has been our guest on the Afternoon Magazine. He's the writer-director of Hustle and Flow, currently in theaters. Go check it out, or check out the website at hustleandflow.com.